Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's continue a conversation we began last week about efforts to regulate what's known as the short-term rental industry in the city. The Boston City Council has been considering the issue, specifically if and how to regulate the rental platform Airbnb, which dominates the industry here in the U.S. and abroad. Last week, we heard from City Councilor Michelle Wu, who said among the challenges are corporate investors who are buying up whole floors, even whole buildings, and then using Airbnb to run what she calls de facto hotels.
They're taking housing stock, turning them into tourist days of two, three, four nights at a time. And what was once long-term residences with neighbors who are part of the community has now become this de facto hotel use. And that, you know, tourism is important for Boston, but we desperately need our housing stock. We're in the midst of a housing crisis, and we know that that drives up prices.
So Wu wants to find a way to regulate, among other things, the kind of large-scale commercial ownership and use of Airbnb. Not surprisingly, Airbnb is pushing back. Chris Lehane is Airbnb's head of global policy and public affairs. And Chris, it's really good of you to join us. Nice to talk to you.
Anthony, it's great to hear your voice. I don't think you and I have talked since the Clinton administration era, but you're like a fine wine. You only get better with time, and you still have the best voice in the business.
Well,
so thanks for having me.
Flattery will get you nowhere, but thank you. So last week, thousands of Airbnb users got an email from your company, and the first line called City Councilor Michelle Wu's plan unreasonable. What's your concern about it?
Since 2015, we have put in place more than 400 regulatory partnerships around the world. Sometimes they're tax partnerships, sometimes they're full-blown regulatory partnerships, sometimes they're MOUs. What we have clearly learned, and I believe demonstrated, is that we are more than capable, happy to, and committed to working with cities to make sure that we're putting in place policies that make sense and reflect the needs of those cities. And generally in the United States, what we have seen, particularly over the last year or so in cities like Philadelphia, Chicago, New Orleans, Seattle, Los Angeles is moving in this direction as well, is that cities recognize that in effect there are two kinds of activities taking place on the Airbnb platform. One kind of activity is people using their homes. And in Boston, over 80% of our hosts fall into that category, right? They're looking to make extra economics. And, you know, in a time of economic inequality, the idea that someone can use their home, which is typically their greatest expense, to make some extra money to help make ends meet, we think that's an incredibly important thing. I think any elected official who is out there talking about economic inequality, one of the things I say, and I say this when I travel all over this country and around the world, is can you point to me a single government program that is creating around $8,000 a year, which is what it creates here in Boston, for a typical host, an extra income. Mm-hmm. By the way, doing all of that without the expenditure of a single taxpayer dollar, right? Our hosts make 97% of the money that they list their homes for.
But Chris, let me just jump in there. I mean, I get it. And Airbnb is a wonderful platform, and I know it delivers a great service to people who use it and to many people who rent out their rooms. But speak to the concern that we heard at the top of the segment from Councilor Wu. And she's concerned about commercial owners putting up multiple listings, and there's
right,
some.
Right, so
evidence.
I was getting to that.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, because there's evidence that that is happening quite a bit.
But I think it's important to understand it in the overarching context. So I was seeking to provide a little bit of context of what our community looks like here in Boston, and then a second type of activity that takes place on the platform. And by the way, this is activity that has long existed. Hmm. I often point out that the hotel industry actually disrupted this activity before it's come full circle here a little bit. But that is, you know, people using housing stock for vacation rentals, for commercial type of activity. In fact, you look at the history of Boston, that has always been the case here. And again, to provide context, right, we have about 3,900 whole homes that are used in Boston. That is less than 2% of the overarching housing stock in Boston. By any objective analysis, that is not going to have a material impact on rentals and on costs. By contrast, there's almost 20,000 units of housing in Boston that are empty and not being used as we speak, at least according to U.S. Census data. All of that said, and going back to my original point, you know, our company was founded by two guys who were actually having a difficult time making their rent. They were graduates of RISD, Rhode Island School of Design. They were living in San Francisco, couldn't make their rent, came up with the idea of the whole home sharing concept to be able to make their rent and move forward. And so it's in our DNA to make sure that we're trying to work to make sure that we're actually part of the solution and not a challenge. Mm-hmm. And what we've done in all of these other markets that I've mentioned is we've come up with a two-tier approach, right? You allow people who are using their homes to make that extra money. And then you have a second approach that really seeks to regulate how much of that historic commercial vacation rental activity that you want. I think smart cities have taken a look at it. They sort of figure out a percentage of, you know, how much of their overall housing stock that they want dedicated to that, or they come up with a specific number. There's any number of approaches that cities have taken and adopted, and it's worked really well when you sort of take that two-tiered approach. And we do think that such an approach would make an awful lot of sense here in Boston, and you know, it's our hope that we can engage in a constructive dialogue that results in a really smart policy that works for the city and is consistent with how the city has long operated, long before Airbnb was here.
I got it. And let me ask you about the idea of constructive dialogue here. So Airbnb also put out a follow-up statement to the email that I mentioned last week, calling Councillor Wu's proposal anti-tenant and anti-middle class. I mean, does the company still stand by that language? Because if you want, you know, if you're looking for a way to work collaboratively with the city to put fair regulations in place, why target Councillor Wu sort of so directly like that?
You know, we have about 3,000 hosts or so here in Boston. Mm. We do have an obligation and responsibility to stand up for them. They are part of our community. You know, we are a people for people platform. And so when there are ideas or thoughts or conversations taking place out there that potentially threaten their ability to use their homes to make extra money, we do have an obligation to stand up for them. Now, I am a member of the Optimist Club, maybe an early card-carrying member. Certainly happy and heartened to hear that folks here, at least based on subsequent public comments, you know, appear interested in seeking to find a path forward. Again, I've done that 400 plus places and certainly hopeful that we can get here. And you know, if people, you know, really want to take a step back and objectively look at the facts and allow the facts to lead to good policy, and good policy ultimately translates to good politics.
Well, so let me ask you specifically about what that might look like, a specific policy. And let me sort of go back to the concern that Councillor Wu raised, and that is people using sort of commercial owners putting up multiple listings. And so here are a couple of facts that we found. So we looked at the data on InsideAirbnb.com and found that more than half of the 4,800 or so listings on Airbnb are by hosts that have multiple listings. And there's some examples of people who have a lot of listings. Like I'm looking at one named Kara, who has 181 listings just in Boston. Sonder operates 147 listings in Boston. Bluebird operates 84 in Boston. So what kind of regulations would you guys be comfortable with that might control that or limit that and address some of Councillor Wu's concerns?
So first of all, the data that you're pointing to is that scrape data that tends not to sort of distinguish between active and inactive and historical and people who've been on the platform, moved off the platform. That said, I don't want that to get in the way of your central point, which is how do you create a regulatory framework that makes sense and works here? Some cities have sort of identified a specific number. They don't want to go beyond that number relative to their overall housing stock. Some sort of have a floating number based on a percentage. Some say, well, you can do X number per host, 2, 4, 5. Again, each city sort of comes at it a little bit differently depending on what they're trying to solve. And so what we have done in all those places that I've mentioned is bring on a new tool for this new thing, and it's called pass-through registration. I don't want to get too technical on you, but it basically does is we give the city the ability to be able to, in effect, regulate and enforce the activity that is taking place.
All right. Well, let me ask you one more specific then. So we know that Boston has been working on this for a while. Cambridge already has some regulations that require, among other things, an operator to be an owner of the dwelling or a tenant of the dwelling unit. Cambridge also requires some inspections, registering the units. Are those kinds of regulations sort of in the ballpark on your court of play, so to speak?
I think, you know, within a framework where you're really sort of distinguishing between the two kinds of activities, I mean, all of this is stuff that we have done in different forms or fashions, you know, depending on where you are, where we've even added other elements, you know, a requirement that you have insurance, right? So that, and the insurance goes to guests, hosts, and neighbors. So if anything happens, you know, there's other types of provisions that you can build into this that really helps give communities the ability to enforce. We've done in some places what we call three strikes and you're out, which is that, you know, if a city has an adjudication that someone has violated a noise ordinance, you know, three times in a specified amount of time, that we'll remove that entity from the platform.
So last question, we really only have about 10 seconds left, but Chris, I mean, do you feel like you're in a constructive process right now with the city of Boston?
Well, I would say, as people more famous than I have said, which is that the arc of history can be long, it can be short. At some point, it always bends. I am, you know, confident that at some point in time, we will figure this out. And I say that because this conversation typically goes one of two ways. You have it, you figure it out, you put the type of process I just described in place, and everything generally works really well, or you don't, and we're back having the same conversation 6 months or a year from now to ultimately end up in a framework that I just described. I would love to get there first and quickly here in Boston so that this city continues to be a leader on innovation and forward-looking thinking.
All right. Well, that's Chris Lehane, Airbnb's head of global policy and public affairs. He joined us from downtown Boston. Chris, thank you so much for your time today. We're very grateful. It's good to have you.
Bye-bye.
Still ahead, Truth and Reconciliation in Maine. A new documentary uncovers what happened to Indian children in the child welfare system. That's coming up after the break. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.